The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And welcome back. It is Tuesday, and we are thrilled you have decided to come by. We think we have a pretty entertaining show for you. A lot of hangover from the weekend still. And a look ahead to week three as we say hello to you on a gorgeous late summer day here in the South. Let's get right to some headlines that you may be interested about. Nobody cares about your feelings. That's Georgia's mantra for the season. The Dogs picking up where they left off. Everybody talking about the defending champions, and why not? They are the most impressive team in the country so far. Down in Gainesville, Billy Napier. Does this sound familiar? Yep, he used to work for Nick Saban. He doesn't want to waste the Gators' loss. Well, that sounds great. Try explaining it first, okay, Billy? They have South Florida this weekend. Meanwhile, out in Arkansas, where I spent yesterday, and I'll tell you about that in a minute, Sam Pittman weighing in on the return of Bobby Petrino. I was in Little Rock, and they were already getting the women and children indoors with Bobby Petrino coming across the border for Saturday's game. Meanwhile, Jimbo Fisher, should he relinquish the play-calling duties? Why would anyone think that after watching Saturday's game?
A head coach has a lot of duties during the course of the game. It seems like you have your hands full. Would you ever consider turning the play calling over to someone to where perhaps the offense could be more efficient?
In time, I would. Yeah, possibly could. I mean, there's you always evaluate those things. And everything we do, we evaluate everything we do. And it's a conglomerate of play calling, too. I mean, we're getting information from everybody and thoughts and the ideas that we put down in those calls and what we do going in the game on our sheets is it's a collective group decisions based off our offensive staff and what we do and how we do things. But yes, possibly yes.
Yeah, we'll think about that. I'll think about it. Since I make the final decision and I'm paid the $100 million, I'll decide that I will continue being the offensive play caller and decide who the quarterback is because I'm the head football coach. That was Jimbo Fisher yesterday. We have a lot to do today. How about Christine Williamson joining us in a few minutes? Buzz Bissinger. You may have just recently heard that the coach from Friday Night Lights passed away, the real coach, not the one in the movie. Buzz Bissinger wrote that bestseller, and people are still talking about McElroy analyzing the quarterback play all across the SEC. And Stinch will join us later in the show as well. And again, I want to thank Alyssa for filling in. I had a speaking gig out in Little Rock yesterday. Tried not to say anything controversial. Tried just to mind my P's and Q's, and I failed miserably. The phone number is 855-242-7285. And even in Arkansas yesterday, they were asking about what whiny Matt would have to say. That's what they described him as. He's just my friend, Matt, from San Antonio. What do you got, Matt?
Yeah, you're my friend, too, boy. That's a brother to me. Look, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to make excuses, anything like that. Yeah, we play like crap. I want to use this word, but I'm going to use that word instead. We play that crap. Jimbo did leak into play calling from on his staff, but like you said, he's not going to let him decide who the quarterback should be in this game versus Miami. In my honest opinion, because you want to know what I want to do with my life, Paul, he should give the reins over to Max Johnson. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Max Johnson has more experience, and he has never played a lot in college station. Even when Carol Mann was there, because they never built a big enough lead for him to get in there, learn the offense. Now you have to learn a new offense. So that makes it harder for him because he's a developmental quarterback. So that's why we lost that year.
Well, okay, that's great, Matt, and I'm sure Jimbo can figure that out. But let me ask you, as somebody who has beaten the drums for Texas A&M, beyond that, how concerned are you that this entire operation is crumbling right now?
Very concerning. If you don't put Max Johnson in and let him see what he can do, you still keep Hanking as a quarterback, but you build a big lead, you let the autocorrect learn. That is very concerning for me because they need Hanking does not need to start on Saturday, Paul. And I want to say one thing to Jim and Legend and guys from your reward base. Look, Jim, you're a liar. You're a damn liar. You never played sports. I have a friend, Paul. This is a true story, and I want to tell you this. He played sports, high school, college, NFL. He got hurt and kicked him off the team. So Jim says all this crap about he's played sports. He's done this. He's a damn liar. He's never played sports his entire life. He can't tell the truth, and he tells you that with a straight face. And what I admire about Joe from Red Bay Legend, I don't like him that much, but I respect him on the fact they tell you the truth on this show. What they did with their lives, what they regretted, and I'm the same way. Jim is a damn liar. He never played sports. He cannot tell the truth. He cannot respect women. He's a pass. The kids that call in now, 11 years old, 12 or 13, 14 years in high school, not a cars, like myself. We're the future. He's a pass. Go work for Fox News and political stuff. They're tired of hearing your political bull crap. This is a sports talk show, Radio Sports. This is a college football.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate the call. I think we got the message. Ron is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Ron, good afternoon to you.
Hey, Paul. I wanted to thank your show, Paul. I believe when the fellow you were interviewing, I think it was another ESPN employee, referred to Kentucky as a, quote, little soft, end quote.
Yeah, that was Roman Harper.
Yes. I can't imagine a fire lit hotter under UK than that word. I think that went through the locker room
fire. It did. Vince Mero tweeted about it. I know what Mark Stoops said here Wednesday night. He acted like he had not heard it. Hard to believe. He just did not want to respond to it. But
yeah,
the players admitted they knew about it. I mean, again, I'm not bragging about the show. It's the fact that it's on the SEC network and that it's also on in every locker room in the SEC.
Players
hear about stuff like this.
Well, when I heard that word, I thought, man, oh man, what a fire that'll build under Kentucky, and they played an excellent game, particularly in that second half.
They really did. I think sometimes these things get carried away, and I think UK rose up, and I think the hype on Florida. I mean, it got to be really absurd. I mean, Saturday morning we were sitting there talking to Tebow, and he was giggling and laughing as if they had won the national championship.
Right.
And I understand. I mean, Tebow has every right to be proud of Florida. But everybody got in way too deep. And reality struck.
Well, I'll be 80 years old in November, Paul, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate the Paul Feinbaum program to fill in my afternoons and early evenings. It is a remarkably influential program, and you're the anchor to that, and I congratulate you with a capital C.
Ron, thank you for saying that, and we have been talking many, many years on the show, and I know you have battled fiercely and heroically in your own life, and I appreciate you being strong and calling us and staying in touch and continue to stay the course, Ron. You be well. We're up against a break. A lot to do here on a busy Tuesday afternoon. We're coming right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Yeah, welcome back. It is Tuesday, and we are thrilled you have decided to drop by. We think we have a pretty entertaining show for you, a lot of hangover from the weekend still, and a look ahead to week three as we say hello to you on a gorgeous late summer day here in the South. Let's get right to some headlines that you may be interested about. Nobody cares about your feelings. That's Georgia's mantra for the season. The Dogs picking up where they left off. Everybody talking about the defending champions, and why not? They are the most impressive team in the country so far. Down in Gainesville, Billy Napier. Does this sound familiar? Yep, he used to work for Nick Saban. He doesn't want to waste the Gators' loss. Well, that sounds great. Try explaining it first, okay, Billy? They have South Florida this weekend. Meanwhile, out in Arkansas, where I spent yesterday, and I'll tell you about that in a minute, Sam Pittman weighing in on the return of Bobby Petrino. I was in Little Rock, and they were already getting the women and children indoors with Bobby Petrino coming across the border for Saturday's game. Meanwhile, Jimbo Fisher, should he relinquish the play-calling duties? Why would anyone think that after watching Saturday's game?
A head coach has a lot of duties during the course of the game. It seems like you have your hands full. Would you ever consider turning the play-calling over to someone to where perhaps the offense could be more efficient?
In time, I would. Yeah, possibly could. I mean, you always evaluate those things. And everything we do, evaluate everything we do. And it's a conglomerate of play-calling, too. I mean, we're getting information from everybody and thoughts and the ideas that we put down in those calls and what we do going in the game on our sheets is a collective group decisions based off our offensive staff and what we do and how we do things. But yes, possibly yes.
Yeah, we'll think about that. I'll think about it. Since I make the final decision and I'm paid the $100 million, I'll decide that I will continue being the offensive play caller and decide who the quarterback is because I'm the head football coach. I was Jimbo Fisher yesterday. We have a lot to do today. How about Christine Williamson joining us in a few minutes? Buzz Bissinger. You may have just recently heard that the coach from Friday Night Lights passed away, the real coach, not the one in the movie. Buzz Bissinger wrote that bestseller, and people are still talking about McElroy analyzing the quarterback play all across the SEC. And Stinch will join us later in the show as well. And again, I want to thank Alyssa for filling in. I had a speaking gig out in Little Rock yesterday. Tried not to say anything controversial. Tried just to mind my P's and Q's, and I failed miserably. The phone number is 855-242-7285. And even in Arkansas yesterday, they were asking about what whiny Matt would have to say. That's what they described him as. He's just my friend, Matt, from San Antonio. What do you got, Matt?
Yeah, you're my friend, too, boy. Like they're better to me. Look, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to make excuses, anything like that. Yeah, we play like crap. I want to use this word, but we use that word instead. We play that crap. Jimbo did leak into play calling some on his staff, but like you said, he's not going to let him decide who the quarterback should be in this game versus Miami. In my honest opinion, because you don't want to hear what I want to do with my life, Paul, he should give the reins over to Max Johnson. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Max Johnson has more experience, and he has never played a lot in College Station. Even when Carolyn Mon was there, because they never built a big enough lead for him to get in there, learn the offense. Now he has to learn a new offense, so that makes it harder for him to be a developmental quarterback. So that's why we lost that year.
That's great, Matt, and I'm sure Jimbo can figure that out. But let me ask you, as somebody who has beaten the drums for Texas A&M, Beyond that, how concerned are you that this entire operation is crumbling right now?
Very concerned. If you don't put Mac Johnson in and let him see what he can do, you still keep painting as a quarterback, but you build a big lead, you let the correct learn. That is very concerning for me because they need Hank King to not need to start on Saturday. Well, and I want to say one thing to Jim and Legend and Joe Rorbe. Look, Jim, you're a liar. You're a damn liar. You never played sports. I have a friend, Paul. This is a true story, and I want to tell you this. He played sports, high school, college, NFL. He got hurt and kicked him off the team. So Jim says all this crap about he's played sports. He's done this. He's a damn liar. He's never played sports his entire life. He can't tell the truth. And he tells you that with a straight face. And what I admire about Joe from Red Bay Legend, I don't like him that much, but I respect him on the fact they tell you the truth on this show. What they did with their lives, what they regretted, and I'm the same way. Jim is a damn liar. He never played sports. He cannot tell the truth. He cannot not respect women. He's a past. The kids that call in now, 11 years old, 12 or 13, 14, are in high school, not a cars, like myself. We're the future. He's a past. Go work for Fox News to political stuff. They're tired of hearing your political bull crap. This is a sports talk show, Radio Sports. This is a college football.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate the call. I think we got the message. Ron is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Ron. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, Paul. I wanted to thank your show, Paul. I believe when the fellow you were interviewing, I think it was another ESPN employee, referred to Kentucky as a, quote, little soft, end quote.
Yeah, that was Roman Harper.
Yes. I can't imagine a fire lit hotter under UK than that word. I think that went through the locker room
fire. It did. Vince Marrow tweeted about it. I know what Mark Stoops said here Wednesday night. He acted like he had not heard it. Hard to believe. He just did not want to respond to it. But
yeah.
The players admitted they knew about it. I mean, again, I'm not bragging about the show. It's the fact that it's on the SEC network and that it's also on in every locker room in the SEC.
That's right.
Players hear about stuff like this.
Well, when I heard that word, I thought, man, oh, man, what a fire that'll build under Kentucky. And they played an excellent game, particularly in that second half.
They really did. I think sometimes these things get carried away. And I think UK rose up. And I think the hype on Florida, I mean, it got to be really absurd. I mean, Saturday morning we were sitting there talking to Tebow and he was giggling and laughing as if they had won the national championship.
Right.
And I understand. I mean, Tebow has every right to be proud of Florida. But everybody got in way too deep and reality struck.
Well, I'll be 80 years old in November, Paul, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate the Paul Feinbaum program to fill in my afternoons and early evenings. It is a remarkably influential program, and you're the anchor to that, and I congratulate you with a capital C.
Ron, thank you for saying that, and we have been talking many, many years on the show, and I know you have battled fiercely and heroically with in your own life, and I appreciate you being strong and calling us and staying in touch and continue to stay the course, Ron. You be well. We're up against a break. A lot to do here on a busy Tuesday afternoon. We're coming right back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, J-E-T-S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. So much conversation about last week and the week before with our College Game Day being in Columbus. And, of course, last week, Austin. This week, they go to Boone. The host of ESPN's Countdown to College Game Day joining us right now, Christine Williamson. Christine, thank you very much for joining us. What a year. We're only 2 weeks into the college football season. You've seen quite a bit. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. When you said what a year, I was like, oh my goodness, has it been that long already? It's only been 2 weeks. That's great.
If you're Jimbo Fisher or Marcus Freeman, it probably seems like more than a year. But let me start with last weekend in Austin, because I was only watching on television. It seemed surreal. What was it like being there and that atmosphere?
It was crazy. Sorry, my cat's crying in the background. I blocked him out of my office. But it was a crazy weekend. It was very hot, as expected in Texas. So I started watching the game on the field, and then I decided that was not a very smart idea. So the rest of the game, I actually watched it in a suite with some Texas fans. And so I definitely got one side of everything that was going on. It was wild. I mean, obviously, as expected, in Austin, those two teams hadn't played in such a long time. And so there was a lot of history there. And it was a lot of chaos. It was exciting.
And being there inside that stadium, I was doing a show, then I was flying, then I got home in time to watch the last few minutes. What was the feeling as the game wore on in terms of, you know, was this about to be the kick the door down again for Texas?
It was very tense. And I feel like a lot of Texas fans, they have like high expectations, but they don't want to get their expectations too high, right? So watching the game, especially alongside Texas fans, they were excited in moments, but then they weren't as optimistic in other moments. Obviously, Quinn Ewers goes down, they're upset about it, right? You have that safety that gets called back. They're like, what the heck is going on? I kept trying to convince them after everything was over that this was a good thing. I mean, I feel like it was Texas's one chance. Like, if Texas was going to get a chance to beat Alabama, they should have done it in that moment, right? This was the game that they could have gotten it done because of all the things that happened on Alabama's side. So it was very tense. Even though they were still trying to keep the energy, you could tell that there was a lot of tension amongst the fans.
What did you sense from Alabama in watching that game? Because now everybody's trying to figure out what's wrong, assuming these are not fixable situations for Nick Saban.
The one thing that everybody talks about, right, in this game, they had 15 penalties for 100 yards. That will likely never happen again. Obviously, they're missing five of their six wideouts from last season. They're trying to figure out how to gel. The cornerback's still trying to figure out how to gel. I feel like Alabama doesn't look like Alabama typically has. And I was actually reading something by Bill Connolly. And he wrote about on .com how it's interesting that the dominance of Alabama doesn't look the same, right? The last three out of their last four games it's not like these dominating games like we expect out of Alabama. You had the close game in the Iron Bowl, obviously beating Georgia in the SEC championship, then losing to Georgia in the SEC championship. If you talk about how they play against Power 5 opponents, it doesn't look like Alabama. So it looks like there's a lot of things that they do need to fix, but at the same time, they are Alabama. This is still Nick Saban. So even though the expectations should be higher for this team, I think there are a lot of things that they need to figure out. It was a close call in Texas, which a lot of people obviously didn't expect from an unranked team. But I think they're still Alabama. So I don't think that there's a reason to necessarily panic if you're a Crimson Tide fan.
Christine Williamson with us. Christine, there's so many obvious questions about college football, but I'm curious with someone that looks at things maybe a little differently to get ready for your show and all the other things you do for ESPN. What is your biggest question mark moving forward for just the entire melting pot of college football right now? What are you most interested in?
Okay, so can I be anybody that listens, that's listening to this and knows me is going, I go to one of two ways. I either go Miami because I'm a Miami alum. I go Clemson because I also went there for grad school. But I also covered the Big 12 for 4 years, so I also typically talk about those three things. I think the biggest questions for me are what the heck is going on in Clemson, because we're still trying to figure out if their offense is even able to do anything with EJU as a quarterback. And then my other question when it comes to, let's just keep it in the ACC, and like I said, Miami, is whether or not TVD, Tyler Van Dyke, their quarterback, is the real deal. And so I feel like it's just kind of questioning powerhouse, former powerhouses, right? Clemson obviously had their dynasty for a little bit and then completely dropped off when they got a quarterback that wasn't able to do what the previous quarterbacks have done. And I feel like the question has always been, is Miami back? So whether or not Miami is actually able to do anything in the ACC and college football as a whole. And I feel like it's a little early to ask that question, but I think that that there's definitely a power shift in a lot of the conferences, but when I look at the ACC, I feel like there's a little bit of a power shift and just trying to figure out what exactly is going on there.
Yeah, and there were a lot of questions before the season with Dabo Swinney, going Dabo Swinney with internal hires after losing two noteworthy coordinators. What do you read into what we've seen so far through two games?
It's not great, but after last season with DJU, I thought it was really a fluke for him, right? He had a lot of expectations going into the season and then not only didn't live up to those expectations, but like did the exact opposite of that. And I feel like he's kind of having the yips again going into this season. When it comes to replacing, I mean, as Clemson had the nuts, like they've always had a top defense under Brent Venables, right? And you lose him. So I think it's going to be hard. And I think, I mean, Dabo has been historically one of the best coaches in college football. And I think when you lose guys that have been with you for so long, it's a lot harder to keep that going. So I think, like I said, there's huge question marks in Clemson, but I'm not willing, because of this short, like you said, there's been a lot of change of hands, because of this short little blip in their, when you think about it, they had 10 wins last season. Like it wasn't as bad as people thought it was. It's the reason it looks so bad is because their ceiling and their floor is typically the CFP. So I don't think it's as bad as people are making it seem, but I do think there is a big question mark there.
And let me close with Miami, because I thought this would be a big game, and you were probably thinking about probably making reservations to go to this game until Saturday afternoon in College Station. But what's at stake for both programs? Obviously, we know the season's on the line for A&M, but what about Miami? Is this the moment that they finally start to come back?
To be clear, even though I will be in Boone, North Carolina on Saturday morning, I am still trying to make it to College Station on Saturday night. I'm not necessarily writing it off to not be at that game, because even though there's not as much at stake with Texas A&M taking the loss this past weekend, it's still a ranked matchup, right? And it still is huge for Miami to get this win, because they do still have a lot to do to prove themselves. Tyler Van Dyke has been having a great couple of games, but he still hasn't proven whether or not he's the quarterback that Miami's been looking for the past, honestly, decades. And so I feel like, obviously, a lot is at stake for Jimbo at Texas A&M. They've kind of already shot themselves in the foot with what happened against App State last week. I think it's bigger for Miami, because after you watch Texas A&M do what they did last week, Miami can't go to College Station and take an L against this team, because then they're also going to be written off. So I think there's a lot more on the line for Miami in this situation. I think Texas A&M obviously has a lot on the line also, because they're trying to prove that they actually can compete in the SEC, compete against Alabama, which obviously that's not a question anymore. But I do think there's a lot more on the line for Miami to just, I feel like moving forward, they have to dominate in games in which they should. And I think Texas A&M is a game in which they should, after seeing what they did against App State.
Christine Williamson, she and her team will be in Boone this weekend for the game day show. We'll take a short break. Thank you very much, Christine. We're heading to a break with more of your phone calls and more guests right after this.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. We are glad you are here, and Dave is up next. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call again. Even though Petrino lives in Manpeggi City, we're all out for the Hogs. We always have been and always will be. And I just wanted to say, with the record that they have so far and got up to number 10 already, it's looking great.
Yeah, Dave, I think you and Peggy are in for a good season. I think the Razorbacks have their schedule is prickly, but they have to get by A&M first. But that Alabama game is starting to loom as one of the bigger games in recent history up there. Hey, thank you for the call. Let's check in with Michael, who is up next. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Awesome, awesome. Hey, quick question for you regarding Jimbo Fisher down in College Station. I personally think he is in some hot water, and looking at the schedule he's going to have to navigate the rest of the way, boy, I can really see Texas A&M with 3, possibly 4 losses. And what do you think that is going to do for him down there with the fan base?
Yeah, I've already heard some of the conversation. Well, he's got to bring in this and do that and not do this. But you know what? I find all that to be absurd. There are a few programs that are more defined by a single person than Jimbo Fisher. It is all on him. It's not on the quarterback. It's not on the coordinators. It's on him. And I think he better be careful. And that's not a threat. That's just a statement. And the schedule is very difficult. That's self-evident. We knew it was a difficult schedule, but we also believed what we heard from him. Remember Billy Lucci a couple weeks ago on this program giving us reason to think this team could be the most talented team in A&M history? And we'll catch up with Billy again soon. I want to see what he's thinking. But, you know, in these next 4 weeks, you can pick your poison, but you know, Miami becomes really the easiest of the next next 4 games. And that's Arkansas, at Mississippi State, and Alabama. I mean, it's possible that A&M will be an underdog in all 3 games.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I look at coaching, and I look at Jimbo Fisher and where he's at. And, you know, I just personally cannot put him in the same atmosphere, if you will, as a Nick Saban or a Kirby Smart. You know, I just don't think he's up there. I don't think he motivates his players like those guys do. And that's just my opinion. And real quick, like, last question for you. Based on the first 2 weeks, who do you think the best team in college football is?
Yeah, I think it's Georgia right now. And that's a week-to-week thing. A week ago, I thought it was Alabama. But that will change as the season goes on. But I agree completely with you about Jimbo Fisher in this regard. Nobody wants to hear Jimbo make excuses. Nobody wants to hear Jimbo talk about the COVID year when they nearly made it to the playoffs. That's all in the past. And that's what he has been living on, other than Jameis Winston. And I know Texas A&M people, they are great fans. He has great support. But saying it's too expensive to buy him out doesn't wash at Texas A&M. They have enough money there where no check is too big to write if they think the program has completely jumped the shark and can't come back. Let's move along and talk to Mike in Florida. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Mr. Paul. Trust you have an awesome day. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Two-part question. I'm an FSU fan, and there seems to be a lot of talk about how about LSU playing, not FSU. I'm not naive to think they're back, but do you think they're on their way back? And my second part of the question, I love college football. Only time I pay for TV is their college football season. But it seems to me a lot of your callers are just angry. Do you agree with that perception? And if you do, why do you think that's true? Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I think FSU is in good shape. That was a critical win. College football fans are not angry. They love college football like you do, but they do get angry about certain things. And that's just part of the nature of the game. And I'll try to spare you the most obvious cliche, but there's a winner and a loser every week. Rarely are losers, I mean, unless you're Vanderbilt, losing doesn't come easy to too many programs. Maybe there are a couple others I might include in that. Now, I'm not saying Vanderbilt wants to lose. They have just lost so much that it's not quite a shock to the system as it is at other places. Let's continue with more phone calls. Caleb is in Tennessee. Hello, Caleb.
Hey, how are you?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I had a question. I was wondering if you think Tennessee could go undefeated into the Alabama game. I know ESPN predicted Tennessee to go 10-2 to lose against LSU.
Yeah, Caleb, the answer is yes. The biggest game they're going to have before that is Florida, and I think they'll be a slight favorite against Florida. So I think there's a real chance they could be undefeated. They also have LSU, but I don't know what LSU is all about yet. That would be impossible for me to offer. They also have a week off after Florida, so that's a good chance to catch up, but it's always about Florida. That has, in modern time, been the most important game on the schedule. Let's check in with Bobby in Ohio. Hello, Bobby.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Hey, I got a question. Been here, which Alabama played terrible against Texas. No denying that whatsoever, but somebody said there was only like 5,000 tickets that was sold to Alabama, and the rest of them was, Texas fans, or if you buy them, from whereabouts to get in the game. But, I'm sure 99% it was all Texas, and plus the heat down there. It's speculation, but I'm sure that had something to do with it. Reason they played so bad.
Yeah, Bobby, I don't really think that had anything to do with it. I think it's hot everywhere in the South in September, and you knew that game was going to be a scorcher. It wasn't like Nick Saban prepared to play in 50 degrees all week. He saw the same temperature forecast we saw at 95. I don't think that team was prepared to play. Whose fault is that? That's pretty easy to figure out, isn't it? More of your phone calls continuing here at 855-242-7285. Daryl is up next.
Well, I mean, you know what? I think Tennessee actually has a better chance of beating LSU than Florida. I mean, that's going to be the game, right, for them. It is every year, right?
Of course.
That's the game that determines how they're going to do. That's why they ain't done so well here lately, is because they can never beat Florida. But, Paul, I would say, speaking of Florida, I mean, is it not the same old Florida? I mean, all the hype, all the new coach. I'm going to give him a pass because it's his first year as head coach there. But still, I saw the same old Florida. What about you?
Well, I saw the same old Kentucky in recent years, a team that is gritty and tough and not soft and determined. And in the end, they overwhelmed Florida. Now, I also think we just tend to make statements in waves. And I mean, I was on a show Saturday morning where I thought Richardson had already won the Heisman, let alone gotten an invitation to New York. But that's what happens when commentators get ahead of themselves, and we all do it.
Paul, that guy is the most hyped up quarterback I've ever seen in college football. I wasn't impressed with him last year. I haven't been impressed with him this year. In my opinion, Stetson Bennett is better than he is. I mean, if you look at the stats, you know, if you go by the wins. Speaking of wins, or Stetson Bennett, let me point this out, okay? Georgia, what do we do after week one? Get out of the way, Ohio State. Not them out of the way, okay? After week two, get out of the way, Nick Saban. Now we're back on top where we should be. Check this out, Paul. On 20 possessions Georgia's had so far this year on offense, 16 of them they have either scored a touchdown or attempted a field goal. Now, they missed one field goal, but 16 out of 20 possessions, that offense has drove the field, put points on the board, is fired on all cylinders. I ain't really worried about Carolina. I'm worried about the 12 o'clock game.
Now, hey, Darryl, playing a great team. Have you even played a crummy team yet?
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.